Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting live at Bridgestone Arena today. Predators in action against the Carolina Hurricanes later on tonight. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. D-Mace is going to join us in an hour, as we'll hang out with him for a little bit before Willie D gets done with Pred stuff. Caroline with the day off, but we're asking the question based on the conversation we just had with John McClain or Reggie White. I watched the 30 for 30 last night on ESPN2, I think it was, because I got tired of crappy bowl games. So I watched the Reggie White doc and thought it was very well done. He was one of my favorite players as a kid, but I realized that there wasn't that much that I knew about him.
Right.
You know, just that he was a minister, was the Minister of Defense, went to UT, played for the Eagles and Packers, and then wrapped up his career with the Panthers. But
easy. You left out a team there, buddy.
Well, and the USFL, the Memphis Showboats.
Correct.
So that's where he started his career. I thought it was fascinating that he actually, because the USFL was dying, basically, that he took a pay cut to go play for the Eagles.
Paid off handsomely for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm way older than you are, so remember Reggie, you know, for the Vols and out of Chattanooga. I remember guys that played against him in high school and like, holy cow, this guy on another level. And so to get to the league. But we talked about when he was at the Showboats, I went to a game, and one of the things they gave away was a life-size Reggie White poster that you could measure your height with. And it was in my room. It was like 8 feet tall, and I had it from the floor to the ceiling, and it was the best poster ever. And I had it with me for years, and I lost it, but it was – and I tweeted it out on my just a little while ago, but that was the best poster ever. It was just so different and, you know, unique what was going on. So the question is, what's the best poster, sports poster, that you ever had growing up?
Well,
Chaser?
Mine's a racing one.
Okay.
Dale Earnhardt. I had a it was like a horizontal – I still have it somewhere, I think. But it was the 98 – 500, and he's doing the donut in the infield.
That's the one he won, first one?
When that's the one when he finally won it. He's doing the donut in the infield, and it has some quote, it's like, we did it, we finally did it, or something like that. But that was my favorite one because that was such an iconic moment. And you know, if you go back and you watch that race, the coolest thing was that had never happened before was, you know, he just beat 42 other drivers, won his first race, and he comes down pit road going to victory lane. And every team is lined up.
Oh, that's cool.
To shake his hand or give him a high five as he drives down, you know, pit road. Like, he couldn't get to victory lane without passing everybody.
I
thought that was so cool that the amount of respect that everybody had for him when he finally won that race. So that was mine.
That's cool. Jay from Clarksville says, my Chicago Bears post with George Halas, Gale Sayers, and Dick Butkus. I'd pay good money to have that today. Wouldn't we all pay good money to have that today? And there's those ones. There's the my second favorite one, and I still have it, is the one where Dwight Gooden and Dale Murphy are playing stickball in the streets of Brooklyn, and it just says stickball. And Gooden's throwing to Murphy, and he's getting the swing. And my other one was Dale Murphy with the bat that was lit up like a lightsaber and those old Braves jerseys. So – yeah, my life revolved around Howie Long and Dale Murphy. But the Reggie White poster stood up, but was just beautiful.
I also had, and I think a lot of people my age probably had this as a kid. Remember the Jordan poster where he's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, the basket's like field away, and he's just like floating through air.
Is that the dunk contest?
It may have been.
Because you can see Pat O'Brien on the front row, and everybody's just,
yeah,
there's
just
no
like,
cell phone.
He's like,
none
he's
of that
flying.
Stuff. And I think it's. There's a couple of players who are sitting on the bench, too, as well. And that's when we took off, I think, from the free throw line.
Yeah.
In the dunk contest.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Oh, yeah. Because he's fine. Like, it's just like, this dude, unbelievable. Let's go to the phone line. You can weigh in as well, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam, on his favorite poster as a kid. Welcome in.
Well, first of all, welcome back. The whole, if it seemed like for like the last 3 or 4 days, Sports Talks has been on repeat on 102.5. So it's,
hey, we needed a little break, you know, time with our family.
I get it. I get it. But every time I clicked on 102.5, it was just, hello, darkness, my old friend. So it's been a rough couple of days. I even went over to another local station and came away not really wanting to like sports anymore. Anyways, Yeah, when Mark Ingram had made the cover of NCAA, my parents were going to buy the game. Just I had the game already. I pre-ordered it. My parents were going to get it as like a collector thing because we're Alabama diehards. And as we came in, they were taking down this huge promotional thing in GameStop, and it was a huge poster of Mark Ingram, his cover piece, and he had autographed it. And I was just like, what are y'all going to do with that? Oh, we're going to throw it in the trash. I was like, can I have it? And they were like, yeah, you can have it. So my parents got it framed. And it literally took up an entire wall, and it was the greatest poster ever. My parents still have it in their house.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. But you know what? You think about that. What are you, 15 again? 18 again? I mean, you're young again.
I think he hung up. Well, but good call.
Thanks for that.
615-737-1025. Steve has a Reggie White story. Steve, what's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
What's up?
Go ahead.
So Reggie played at Howard High School in Chattanooga, and it was awe-inspiring to watch him play basketball in high school. Did not play basketball. I went to one high school basketball game. It was to watch him play against my high school, and to see that guy coming down the lane was just awesome. The second thing was, I was in 10th grade when he was in 12th. We were beating Howard 44-0. They put in the scrubs at the end of the game. And, of course, Howard only had, 30 guys on the team, so Reggie played the whole game. And people asked me what it was like to block Reggie. I said, I don't know, because it was like a vapor going by me. he just kind of, literally, you can imagine Reggie in high school. He was about 6'5", about 235 or 40 pounds, very thin. He played tight end and anything he wanted to on the defensive line. And it was just awesome to watch him. And last but not least, he knocked a friend of mine in that game over into the long jump pit, which was beside the field, and broke his ribs.
Good.
Reggie was something to behold in high school. Him and Charles Morgan, who also played, if you remember him, he was a stud for about 5 games at UT, and then he left. But they were quite the duo, and but I remember like it was yesterday. He was awesome. So thanks for letting me talk about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Steve.
That's awesome. Can you imagine Reggie White coming down the lane in basketball? Pass on that. We're taking your favorite sports posters growing up. Mark has one. It's got to be the Don Majkowski Magic Man poster. He was in a cape with a wand. It was ridiculous, but I loved it at the time. I would love to have that, because that'd be just a weird, odd poster. Of course, Don Majkowski injured in 1992 against the Bengals, and who comes in? Brett Favre.
Oh, wow.
And who never gives up the position for a long time is Brett
Favre.
Yeah.
Wow.
Majkowski, though, vastly underrated quarterback out of the University of Virginia.
Wow, that's a good one. One of my favorite moments from the 30 for 30 was they were talking about the hump move that Reggie White had.
Yeah.
Chris Carter was in it because he played with him with the Eagles, and then Chris Carter was the one that he tried to block Reggie, and Reggie basically just flings him like a bag of potatoes into Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
And knocks Randall Cunningham down. And so Chris Carter's like, yeah, I probably should have gotten credit for half a sack on that one, thanks to Reggie. Well, I mean, it's the funniest thing ever.
Well, one of the most iconic sacks he had with that one arm was he was going against Bernard Daphne for the Vikings, who also played at Tennessee, may he rest in peace. And Reggie just put his arm underneath his shoulder, and Bernard Daphne, if I remember, was like 6'7", 350, and Reggie White launched him in the air on his butt and went and sacked I think it was Cunningham at the time.
Yes.
Or Dante Culpepper. It was amazing watching that play. That guy, I mean, it's as John McClain said, Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White, the two at the top there. So, yeah, keep them all rolling in. 615-737-1025. Your favorite sports poster as we wrap up 2023.
We will take your calls and texts on that next. Here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at Bridgestone Arena, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Nick Frazier, a.k.a. Dr. Crane, on the ones and twos back at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. We're at Bridgestone Arena taking your calls and texts on your favorite poster as a kid. It's because of Reggie White. I watched the Reggie White 30 for 30 last night. And Joe, his favorite poster was the life-size Reggie White Memphis Showboats poster.
Yeah, you can measure your height going up. Zach on our text line, 615-737-1025, says, Reggie's parents live across the street from my in-laws. They're the nicest and the most humble people you'll ever meet. Mr. White has shown me all the stuff Reggie has given him, including the Super Bowl ring, and told me stories probably nobody has heard. That's very cool.
Yeah, very, very good. Carl has another Reggie White story, mixing those in as well. Carl, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Thank you for taking my call. My favorite poster was got to be my Dr. J poster back in high school at Riverdale in Murfreesboro. And Reggie White story, I had a buddy that was a team manager, and he said at practice, Reggie White would lay somebody out. And I guess you guys knew he was a minister also.
Yep.
But he would go over to him on the ground and say, God bless you, brother. Let me help you up. then the second question, or the second comment, I was down at a fundraiser in Pulaski, Tennessee, and Johnny Majors was the speaker. And somebody asked him, who was the greatest football player that he coached? And he said, I've got two. He said, on offense, it was Tony Dorsett. And on defense, it was Reggie White. So just thought I'd share that with you guys. Great show.
Appreciate it, Carl. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, Randall Cunningham was featured in it. You know, he obviously played with him in Philadelphia and then played against him after Reggie left. And when Randall had gone to Minnesota, they were in the same division. And he I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said the best thing about Reggie is he'd knock the crap out of you. You'd feel the worst pain you've ever felt in your life, and then he'd pray for you for a speedy recovery.
Oh, that's great.
You know. So it was really good.
8566 says, Anne Fernie Hardaway and Little Penny poster, who's got next? That was massively popular in the mid to late 90s. Massively popular. A lot of people had that poster as well. Hey, you want to read Wes and Hermitage text?
Do I?
That's just – It's a poster, but not sports, but still funny.
Oh, okay. No, this is sports. This is a wrestling poster. when I was younger, my parents were split up. I stole a very distracting picture poster out of my dad's Playboy of Stacy Keibler. I knew if I hung it up at my dad's, he would know I stole it. So I made the dumb decision to sneak it home and put it in my closet at my mom's. Bad, bad, bad idea. My mom found it very quickly. And I'll never know how. I try to blame my dad, but he claimed he had no clue what I was talking about. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. All right, Wes, thank you for that one. That's very kind. I mean, that was the rage, is that all the posters when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, you had all those. And then the 90s a little bit. So I don't know if people do posters anymore.
No, I don't really think they do. I mean, I still have some in frames that, you know, I've hung up that I've had forever. But, yeah. Not to this extent.
When I was in junior college,
I guess now it's all like wallpaper on your phone.
True, yeah. A video store gave me all these posters. He's like, hey, you can have those, because we'd go in there all the time. I went back and I put in my dorm room all these great movie posters, but it was like Out of Africa. It was these movies that were really dramatic and everything. And we would sit there and just laugh at that for hours, because I was like, I got all these posters, guys. Come to my room and look at these posters. And it was no sports. It was very... very humbling, but it was a good time. But the posters were great when we had all this growing up, and now, not so much.
I remember when I was a kid, the Preds used to give out, you know, those life-size posters like you talk about with Reggie White.
Yeah, they did one of Hal.
Yeah, Hal Gill, and then I also have one of Jason Arnott.
Oh, nice.
Way back in the day, and I used to put that on my wall, and I remember my mom came in one day, I was like, what is this? And I'd take it down. And
what is this?
Yeah. So then at our old house, when I was about 7 or 8, my dad's a scratch artist. He's pretty decent. And he drew Steve Sullivan a profile photo of him and kind of did like calligraphy, signed his name and cursive and all that. It was kind of cool, but I guess you could call that a poster, but he drew it on the wall.
So your dad forged Steve Sullivan's autograph?
No, it was more of just for show. Just for show on the wall.
Nice.
8566 also says, I had multiple posters on in every room growing up. Neither of my sons have a single one, and their rooms are filled with Pred stuff.
Is that just odd? I mean, yeah. It's not odd. It's just different of time and things that are go on. But, yeah, I mean, that's with my Reggie White and Dale Murphy. I had a Howie Long poster, and that was it. But I had plenty of posters of those three decorating my room growing up. Crazy, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I had, look, I'm trying to think. I had wrestling, I had racing, I had basketball, I had football. I mean, I had an entire wall that was, and I never forget, I was so mad. I went to like football camp or something, and I came home and my mom had taken them all down. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we need to paint. I'm like, well, what'd you do with the posters? Paint. I threw them away. Why?
Yes. Like, oh my goodness! And all those gone, all that history in your childhood gone. And
yeah, I mean, she didn't throw them away. They were like, I needed to take them down because I had them all taped together and it messed them up.
Well, people are so weird now. If you put a poster up, like you tack into the wall, like, yeah. How dare you do them? Like, how else are you gonna hang a poster up,
right?
And do all that stuff.
Well, I did tape, but then it pulled the paint off, and
tape was good. Yeah, I did the thumbtack and got yelled at by my mom, but yeah. That's just part of everything that was growing up. But I wish I had that Reggie White poster for the Memphis Showboats. It was such an iconic poster, and I don't know what happened to it. I'd love for my son to have that, but nothing, so, gone forever.
I'm going to tell a story similar to Wes's, and I was debating if I was going to do this.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. So back in the day, like, I hardcore into wrestling, and I would get the old, either the WWF or the WCW. They both had magazines. Right.
Okay, yeah.
And so they always had posters in the mag. That it was like four pages that you'd pull out, and you'd hang up the poster. So I had a ton of wrestlers and everything. Well, there was one that it was some girl that was like a manager in WCW.
And Billy Martin.
She was very scantily clad, and I knew I couldn't hang it up like in my room because my mom would lose it and tear it down. So I had the bright idea of, because it was two-sided, and one side was like, I think it was like Jimmy Hart. It was like, and then the other side was this girl. So I hung it up in my window with the girl looking out, and one of the neighbors called. It was like, can you take that? What is this? Can you take that?
Did you take it down?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And I played dumb, too. I was like, oh, I didn't know it was on the other side.
Good Lord, man. That's fantastic.
I was just hanging up Jimmy Hart.
Yeah. It's like, what kind of kid? Carol, what kind of kid are you raising over there? Good Lord.
Hey, 13-year-old boy.
Spend more time with him. Jason DeClarksville says, I had the Five Aces poster of the Braves. I don't remember that poster. Would that be the pitchers?
Which one now?
The Five Aces poster, the Braves?
Yeah,
this is Jason Clarksville. That would be what, Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin, Avery, and who else?
Yeah, I don't know who would have been the
not fit. Charlie, not Denny Nagel would it be. Now, Denny Nagel and I go way back. Or Charlie Liebrandt.
Is that supposed to be George?
Yeah. I remember they traded Doyle Alexander for this young whippersnapper out of Michigan.
That sounds like a mix of Greg Wyatt and George Plaster.
John Smoltz. I don't know the five. Right back, Jason. Let's know who the Five Aces poster of the Braves, because I don't know who that is right there. 3045. I remember this with the poster of Jack Lambert with the steel curtain defense behind him. That was good. And that was iconic in a way because Lambert wanted no publicity for himself. He had to have the defense included in almost everything that he did. So that's a very cool one.
My friend Katie has the Five Aces poster, so she'll tell us who's on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's like I think those four, and then I don't remember who the fifth would have been.
Would it be Denny Nagel?
Maybe. So this would have been right when Maddox signed, which was 93, I think.
Somewhere right in there, yeah.
Was
Avery still there? I mean,
no. Okay, she said she had the one with just the three, that it was just
Kent Pete Merker? Smith.
Pete Smith is on that?
Yes.
I don't even remember him. I thought it was Kent Merker.
So it was Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, Avery, and Smith?
Correct.
Huh.
Wow, Pete Smith. That's a blast from the past.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
He's second to the right.
Yeah. All right. Good find.
Nice.
Good find, Nick.
Yeah, well done on that.
Thank you.
Who we got next?
All right, coming up next, we'll talk to former Vanderbilt and Detroit Lions All-Pro punter Jim Arnold will join us as his Lions are now on a tear, winning the division for the first time since the American Revolution, it seems like. Jim Arnold will join us next.
We will do that. Bowl season is back here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and 94.9 The Fan. We are your home for college bowl games and the college football playoffs presented by Twin Peaks and Parmer Tractor and Equipment. You can catch the Military Bowl today starting at 1 o'clock here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game as Virginia Tech takes on Tulane. Then, got the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 4 over on 94.9 The Fan between North Carolina and West Virginia. And don't miss out on the Texas Bowl tonight at 7:30 on 94.9 The Fan as Texas A&M battles Oklahoma State. For a list of games carried on our stations, just visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgame. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have celebrity birthdays coming up in just a few minutes as we continue here on a Wednesday. The Detroit Lions are going back to the playoffs for the first time in a very long time, and a guy that was on the team the last time they won a playoff game also was a punter at Vanderbilt. Jim Arnold is on the line with us. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are y'all? Hope everybody had a great holiday.
Yes, absolutely. You as well. We're fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. So you played in with some rough teams with the Lions and also some pretty good teams with the Lions. What is it like seeing the success that they're having now?
It's fantastic. I love it. Detroit is such a great sports town. And, to suffer it as long as they have and now to have a team that seemingly is turning the corner and getting somewhere is fantastic. I'm very happy for the players on the team. I'm happy for the coaches. I'm happy for the city. It's a great place to be when your team is doing great. The fans up there are just really, really good fans. A lot of fun when you do turn things around and get to a winning side of things. And this, of course, this is the first time in franchise history they've won the North, because it was the Central when we won it. But they're a team that's fun to watch. It's not the same old Lions anymore.
What's kind of your impression? You played for a pretty good coach in Wayne Fonts, but what's your impressions of Dan Campbell and the job that he's done overall?
I love what Dan Campbell's done, and I like the way he's approached it, too. He just come in and said, this is what we're going to do and be. Playing there, he has an understanding of that team and city, and it seems to, have permeated through to the players, and they're buying in, which I think is great. Now, of course, with success comes transition, because you'll have some of your staff that'll probably be looked at for head coaching positions. So hopefully they can keep everything intact for, a while there. But I really like Dan and what he stands for and what he's doing there with Detroit.
We're talking to the great Jim Arnold, Vanderbilt punter, Detroit Lions punter for 8 seasons. Of course, Jim, I know we're talking about, we have you on now talking about the Lions, the resurgence, but we got to ask about number 20. The first time you saw him on the practice field, did you have any idea he would be as fantastic as he turned out to be?
At first you don't, because when Barry first came in, during training camp and stuff, of course, they're not going to try and beat him up or, have him in a risk of doing it. But I'll tell you this, the entire time that I was in Detroit, and Barry is one heck of a human being, period, but there wasn't a game that you were not at and watching. Especially us, when the offense was on the line, out on the field, you were standing and watching the game, but there was not one game that went by where you didn't look at somebody standing next to you and go, did you see that? I mean, not one. Unbelievably humble guy. And Barry was not a guy who wore his feelings on his sleeve. He's pretty quiet, but when it came to game day, he was ready to go and obviously showed the unbelievable talent that he was.
Yeah, he was amazing. Where were you on that run he had? Was it the playoffs versus the Cowboys in 91?
Oh, I was right there on the sideline. Saw it. He was coming right toward us. And then, they thought they had him. And, of course, Barry does his thing, wiggles around. It's funny because Tony Casillas he runs right past Tony, and Tony's just stopped there. And then he looks back, like, well, what the heck? And, of course, Barry goes for a touchdown. But there were several times that you've probably seen all these highlights he's had where he went around. I remember in one game against New England and made the DB turn about three different times before he got around him and went on and scored another touchdown.
You know, it was tough to Jim. I mean, you played in that division versus the Bears for so long. They were such a good team. And, you know, and the Packers had the resurgence starting you were there. So it's not like you guys had bad teams. You just went up against some very good teams within your division.
We did. Like you said, the Packers were very good because you're talking about the Brett Favre era with Sterling Sharp. And the Bears, which ran, that mid-'80s pretty hard there with the North. So we're a little bit different complexion to the there in Minnesota was not bad either. Of course, Minnesota had, you know, different quarterbacks, but you had good receivers there that we played against too. So there were good games there, and I don't think any of our games against those opponents were any kind of blowouts. And I remember then in 93, we make it into the playoffs, win the division, and then we lose to Green Bay at home on one that Favre had a long pass to Sterling Sharp, and you know before that it's like don't let him behind you. And what happens? Just behind the whole defense, and you know they're like, oh gosh.
What do you remember? We've been talking a lot about Reggie White today because I watched the 30 for 30. What do you remember about watching him? Especially with those Packers teams?
Just an unbelievable – again, here's another generational-type player who was an unbelievable natural talent. When he was – don't ever make him mad because if you do, he's going to make you look silly. But I also played with Reggie in the Pro Bowl a couple times, so got to know him a little bit more. And then, of course, him going to Tennessee, me going to Vanderbilt. Played against him there as well, but he's just unbelievable talent. You know, he had that move where he came in and he could just knock a full-grown offensive lineman off of his feet just by that little right-handed swipe he would do, and then he's gone to the quarterback. But, again, one of those guys in the mold, kind of in the mold of Barry, as a person, cannot say enough good things about Reggie White. He was an unbelievable person, and would spend time with. You know, if you talk, I talked to him quite a bit when we were at the Pro Bowl. Just an all around great person.
Well, we're talking to Jim Arnold, who spent 8 years with the Detroit Lions and played a long time in the NFL. Jim, that 91 team you're on, Detroit, it's the only team. Lions team ever made the NFC Championship game. What a great football team. Unfortunately, ran into a buzzsaw, the Washington Redskins. But how good, from your perspective, was that 1991 Detroit Lions team you were on?
We were real good. Now, that year we lost two players. We lost Mike Utley to injury, which was tragic. That was fairly early days against the Rams, but that was a catalyst for us going into 91. And then Eric Kramer took over at quarterback, and for the most part, for the whole season, we did great. You're right. We ran into a buzzsaw in Washington. We played in the first game of the season and got blanked pretty well. And then the other loss, I think, that was not very good for us, the only really two bad blemishes on the scoreboard was a loss to San Francisco out there as well. So we were excited. That was a lot of fun. We played Green Bay and Buffalo that year, I think, at playoffs, and then got to where we went against we played Dallas in the playoffs and thumped them. That was the year before they took off from the Super Bowl runs. But we went go to Washington to play in the NFC Championship game, and our hopes were very, very high. But you know, honestly, when you boil it down, I can't. We got beat by a better team that day. I think if we had a couple of different pieces at that time, then I think that would have been a much closer game too. And of course, Washington won the Super Bowl. So, you know, the pain or the sting is not quite as bad when you've lost to who has won the Super Bowl.
That's very true. Talking to Jim Arnold this morning. Jim, to see this Lions team now and what Dan Campbell has done, of course, he was on the 2008 team that went 0-16 and see it come full circle. Do you feel like a proud dad or uncle watching this team now?
Well, I feel like a lot of Detroit Lions fans who've stayed with that team through thick and thin is that you're just proud as punch of what these kids have done. You kind of know, you know, from being inside and having that kind of success as a team, and it's good to see it here. I don't see individuals who are being individuals. It's very much of a team atmosphere, and what can they do to get better, and how can they get better, and being honest with themselves, and that's how you build a championship. Hoping and that they continue the run, and maybe they're the Cinderella team this year. I don't know. It'd be really neat to see, though.
Well, Jim, we appreciate the time this morning. It's good going down memory lane with you, and we'll see what happens with Detroit.
Well, I've enjoyed it too, Joe. It's always a pleasure to be around you and talk to you. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Tell Nick I said have a happy new year and hope to see you guys soon in Nashville.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
Jim Arnold, former punter with Vanderbilt and the Detroit Lions, joining us here on the program.
Good played three seasons with the Chiefs, eight with the Lions, and one season with the Miami Dolphins. So
that is correct.
Go from Barry Sanders to Dan Marino is pretty good. What's up next, Chase?
Oh, we got celebrity birthdays coming for you. That is look, people have missed it the last few days.
They have.
We will have that for you coming up next. Chase and Big Joe at Bridgestone Arena, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting live Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Little roster move the Predators have put out there a few minutes ago. They have recalled goaltender Yaroslav Askarov from the Milwaukee Admirals. Goaltender Kevin Lankinen is listed day-to-day with an illness, according to the team. So just walked out there. And I did see number 30, Askarov, warming up. I would assume UC Saros will go tonight for the Predators. But a little interesting nugget there that Askarov has been recalled. Also, this news.
Hold on. Say that guy's name again.
Askarov. Yaroslav Askarov.
You sound like Tom Brokaw when you said it. Yaroslav Askarov.
Askarov.
Okay, glad you can pronounce that.
Yeah. I work on it.
Good.
You know, it's what we do. How about this? I guess Joe Milton has opted out of the Citrus Bowl, so it's officially Nico time in Tennessee.
Why now?
I don't get it.
Why didn't you do it 2 weeks ago? Did you practice with your team and do all that stuff and not give Nico the reps he needed with the first team? If not, that's a terrible decision by Joe Milton.
Do you think that Josh Heupel said, hey, we're going to start Nico?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I don't know. I mean, give him your shot.
I mean, I wouldn't think so either. But, I don't get it because
no.
Let's just be one. I don't get it because I have a problem with this, with players doing this. Like, finish what you started. I don't care how insignificant the bowl game is. You know, play with your team. Finish what you started with your team. You know, if it's going to be these guys just opting out, then why have the bowl games, you know?
Right.
I have a huge issue with that. And secondly, he's not going to play, like, he's not going to be a starter in the NFL, I don't think. So, like, he's saying he wants to focus on getting ready for the NFL and the draft, and, like, I don't know where he's going to go. You know, like, I don't see him as a day one or a day two pick.
But why take all the reps away from Nico? If you're not going to play, then why? I don't.
Well, I mean, that's my question is, do we know that that was the case? Or was,
I don't,
did Heupel basically decide, hey, we're going to see what we have in Nico?
Well, there's a fake account.
Are we going to split the reps or what have you?
A fake account tweeted out that yesterday that Milton was going to. This guy always does it, and people always fall for it. We were laughing last night about that, and then come to find out that today that Joe Milton's not going to play in the bowl game. That's, I don't know, man. That doesn't sit well with me. You should have done this 3 weeks ago.
Yep, I 100% agree. But that's the news for sure. We'll talk more about that with Derek Mason when he joins. Joe and I are going to stick around for a little bit. Caroline out today. Willie has obviously got his Preds morning skate duties. But right now, It's time for celebrity birthdays. Oh, celebrity birthdays is brought to you by Zach Piller and his new Instagram account. Follow Zach on the IG at Zach Piller Design 69 and step into his world.
All right, here we go. First birthday up from she was on CSI Miami. She used to be married to Jay Peterman off the Seinfeld show in real life. Eva LaRue. How old is Eva LaRue?
She is kind of cute.
Hello, Eva.
47.
Oh, 58.
57.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Crane knows his criminal shows. Well done on
Dr.
that.
Dr. Crane used to practice taking, like David Caruso, taking the sunglasses off.
Haley Williams from Paramore.
44.
Paramore's a band, right?
Yes.
It is.
Mm. We're going to go 38.
35. So close. She lives here, I'm being told. Okay.
I think she does, yeah.
Okay, nice. Actor Timothy Chalamet. He plays Spider-Man or one of those. Is he a Willy Wonka? I don't know.
All right.
Timothy Chalamet.
34.
This is tough. 39?
28, guys. He was a dad on Good Times. He was Mr. McDowell on Coming to America. John Amos. Best TV dad of all time. I'll argue that all day.
77.
72.
84. Guitar player Mick Jones of Foreigner. I think he's the only last original one in the band.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to say 74.
69.
79. Singer Tracy Nelson.
77?
I'm going to go a little lower. Going 63.
79. Chase within two. Actor Gerard Depardieu.
Who?
Gerard Depardieu. He was in the movie Green Card. It was a great movie.
65.
Gerard? I don't know. This is tough. We can go 73.
75. Dr. Jeez. Crane's up 2-1. Well done. Lead singer of Dire Straits. No, not lead singer. His brother, David Knopfler of Dire Straits.
66.
61.
71. You guys are terrible today.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Getting the rust off here, Joe.
Please do better. Let's see what else we got here. We're going down here. Singer, your favorite band, Chase. Singer Shay Mooney of Dan and Shay.
Great
I know
job,
you
man.
Play that album and you cry.
Cry. You have to just console me.
Yep.
40.
They got to be younger. I'm saying like 34.
32. And with that, Dr. Crane wins 3-1. Well done, Dr. Crane.
Gator Mike says wrong. The best TV dad is Al Bundy.
Nope. I will take James Evans. Good. When James Evans passed away in that car crash in Mississippi, that and then Florida lost it and said, damn, damn, damn.
Yeah.
That was
good times.
That was good time. It wasn't good times, but that was good times.
Yeah, the show. Okay.
Yep, great
All right,
show.
There you go. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, but Big Joe and I are sticking around. D-Mace will join us. Here from Bridgestone Arena, 102.5. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as we do every day, we'll continue our show in a moment. But for our guys out there, listen, we know it's the holidays and it's tough. Hey, man, you're making it through there. If you get to talk to somebody, please call 988 on your cell phone. Please call 988. Always somebody there to talk to you. If you need to talk, we're always here for you as well. As I say every show, every day, our world is a better place because you are here. You are loved, and you need to know that.
102.5, 106.3, the game.